Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word. Let's open our Bibles to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation 5. And let's pray together before we read the scriptures too, shall we? Let's pray. Lord, we're your people. This is your word. We ask that you would help us open our eyes that we might see you for who you are. Thank you for your kindness in Jesus' name. Amen. John had this revealed to him while he was on the Isle of Patmos. He was an old man in his middle 90s. And he had been exiled to this prison island to try to keep him quiet and not affect people anymore. But the problem is Jesus showed up at the prison island and revealed the future to John. And he had this vision, and he wrote it for us. And it's incredible. Let me read this to you. Chapter 5. And then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on a throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scrolls or even look inside. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll and look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain. This is so interesting, these words, trying to describe in our human language what he saw. I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures, as described in the previous chapter, and the elders. He had seven horns, the idea of all power, and seven eyes, all seeing, which are the seven spirits of God, that is the perfect spirit of God, in other words, sent out into all the earth. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song. "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open the seals. For you were slain, and with your blood you purchased people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." And then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. Now, I'm not a numbers guy, but that's pretty big, right? They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And in a loud voice, they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth, on the sea and all that is in them, singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. Man, what a picture. You know, a lot of people know that Jesus was the most significant person in history. He's affected the world more than anybody that ever lived, that simple carpenter who just happened to be God in the flesh. We all, you know, accept and know that, but few realize how much he will intervene in history that is yet to come. God is going to fulfill His promises. It was Paul who wrote to the Philippians, "I thank God every time I remember you, being confident of this, listen, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Did you get that? The day of Christ Jesus? That's what John's talking about here. The day when it all starts breaking loose and coming to fruition. So in Revelation 4 and 5, we have this picture that's really rare. It's only seen in two other places in the Bible, really. Isaiah has a picture of it for us in chapter 6. And then Ezekiel, at the beginning of his prophecy, talks about seeing the presence and the throne of God. This is really an interesting look into this other realm where God Himself lives. So we see the throne of God. Now John sees God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and tries to describe it to us. But God is worshipped like in chapter 4, when they fall down and worship the Father who is on the throne, they worship Him for this purpose. They say, verse 11 of chapter 4, "You are worthy, O our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power." Why? "For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." That's the place to begin. You know, for anybody who questions anything about God, you've got to begin at that point, that He is the Creator, and you are thankful for that. The ultimate suicide is to say there is no God. My buddy Barry, he lives like a rock star. He has this Prevost motorhome. You know, that's how the rock stars travel. And he just bought this monster sailboat, John, that he's not going to bring up to Lake Michigan until next year. He's wanting me to crew with him and float the boat up to Michigan, you know, through Lake, you know, up the, you know, the eastern seaboard and then through Lake Erie. And the problem is, there isn't enough medication in the world to keep me on a boat that long. You know, I don't think there's enough Walgreens along the, you know, the waterway to get all the patches and pills I need. That was really nice of him. But we were with him the other night, dinner time, and he told me about this winter floating the Gulf of Mexico and going to these little islands that where no one lives, but you can find a little lagoon to anchor for the night. And he talked about how once he anchored and the birds began their night song, and as the sun went down and then the stars came out, he said he slept on the deck looking at the stars, total darkness, bright stars. And he looks across the dining room table and he says to me, "Tom, there is no way this just happened. There is no way." And we were sitting, because it was a wedding we had with a couple of young doctors, his daughter and a young man she's marrying, great kids. And those kids say the same thing from the other direction. Now, Barry's looking at the large universe and said, "Oh, man, this couldn't have just happened." Well, the kids have been studying in medical school for years. And as large as you want to look at the creation, or as small as you want to get into microbiology, we are always amazed at the intricacies of the creation. I mean, this couldn't happen. That's the place to begin, and that's why they're worshiping God here. So God's worshipped for that. And see, so we get into chapter 5, and I'm gonna make this quick, but I want you to see this. God is holding something in His hand when we get to chapter 5, God the Father. And it's a scroll. And that scroll contains all of the promises that are going to be fulfilled. And they are sealed with seven seals, a perfect idea of perfection. Sealed, they cannot be opened. In fact, if you'll notice the prophecy of the prophet Daniel, at the end of it all, he's wondering, "Man, when is all this stuff going to happen?" And God says to Daniel, "Daniel, seal it up. It's for the future. Go your way. Live your life out. It's for the future." Well, now here's the scroll sealed in the very hand of God the Father. And He's going to bring it about. And Jesus, I tell you, man, he is the great hope. I love this picture. John says in chapter 5 here, but no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I love how God sets the scene. You know, they looked everywhere else in all creation, and nobody has the authority, the accomplishments, or the being to be able to open that scroll and to bring to fruition all the prophecies and promises of God into this world, to finish it. Nobody could do it. And John wept, he said, and wept because no one was found. Can you imagine if this world never changed? Can you imagine the hopelessness of this? It is broken. It is messed up. And you know, we all hold on to the good in this world and love and work our way through it. This is a difficult place. We talk about it all the time. Thank God it's not going to stay like this. Talk about hopelessness if it was never going to change. And John, he wept and he wept because he thought it's never going to change. We've lived in our house for 31 years. You know what I hate about this world? Everything runs down. 30 years. I have a list. Not just that I've created, but Debbie has a bigger list that she's created. You guys, you girls are great at that. You know, nothing would get done if it wasn't for women. It's true. You girls push us. We play golf, watch football, buy new guitars, stuff like that. We would do all that stuff. You girls get it done. Debbie's got this list that I'm never going to get done before I'm, like, dead, you know? It's just, but everything wears out. I mean, I remember when we built that place and we decorated it and it was just great and we just loved it. And now everything we own is worn out and we got to redo everything again. No, no, I mean everything. That idea of living in a house for 15 years and then flipping it and buying something new is a good idea. You know, I know your property taxes and everything go up, but man, if it never changed, can you imagine the hopelessness for all of us? If only in this life, the apostle said that we have hope in Christ and we are among all men and women most to be pitied because we are like kidding ourselves. I mean, Jesus, man, he is the great hope. Job spoke of this. He was waiting for his change to come. Way back, Job is the earliest written part of the scriptures, his story. Here's that man going through all of the terrible stuff of this world, and he says, I'm looking, I'm waiting. My change is going to come. It has been the hope and confidence of everybody who has ever trusted in the Lord that it isn't always going to be like this. Jesus, the great hope. But here's the other thing about Jesus. Not only is he the great hope, he's the only one worthy. They're looking for somebody with the weight of authority, you know. Jesus. No one could open, bring to completion, set in motion the fulfillment of God's promises. No one was able. But it talks about the four living creatures. They're angelic. They're described in chapter 5. And there's some really weird descriptions, guys. I want to see some. We'll see them one day with our own eyes. Those angels that guard the throne of God. But there's another group, 24 elders. And they sit on their own special seats in the presence of God. And they wear golden crowns. And everybody has wondered for all these years. But what it seems to be is a representation of all of God's people throughout all of human history. They're before the great throne. And John is weeping and weeping because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. And then one of the elders, this isn't one of the angels, this is a human who is in heaven today, says to John, but wait. I mean, God sets the scene, doesn't he? Brings in all of the darkness. There's absolutely no hope. There's no one anywhere that can open this scroll, can break the seals. And when all hope is lost, when it's completely dark, the elder steps forward and says, oh, wait, the seed of Abraham, the root of David. I mean, whoo, buddy, Jesus is the one who is worthy. The root of David, get this, has triumphed. Jesus won. When he was dying on the cross, remember what he said? It is finished, and it was set into motion that one day the seals would be broken and all the fulfillment of all promises would come to be in this world, in this place. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals. I just love that. Jesus, the great hope. Jesus, the one who is worthy. And then they sing this new song. And you'll notice, you know, the focus of our lives is supposed to be the cross of Jesus. And that is exactly what we see here in heaven. In this future moment. It might happen this week. It might happen in 2,000 years. I don't know. I've listened to a lot of people that thought they knew. And they've all been wrong. And then they try to change their position. And I try to remind them that in the Old Testament, when a prophet said a prophecy, if it didn't come true 100%, they stoned them. Okay? And I tell these guys, I'd like to bring that practice back because you guys are messing this up. Quit acting like you own everything. Owe everything. Know everything. I mean, crazy. Just crazy stuff. But they sing this new song. And what is beautiful is the focus of the song. You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals. Why? Like we looked at when they were speaking of God the Father. You know, we worship you. Well, why? Because you created. You're the creator. We're yours. Well, then with Jesus, you're worthy to take the scroll and open its seals. Why? Because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased people for God from every tribe, language, and people, and nation. Man, Jesus, he's the only one worthy, and it was the incredible work of his cross. Blows me away. The more we realize who Jesus is, it blows me away. The only hope. The only one worthy. One more thing. It's, guys, get this. It's Jesus only. It says, and no one was found who could open, was worthy to open the seals. They set the scene by, like I said, looking everywhere else. But now we realize when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he's just telling the truth. He is the only one that took the broken world in his own hands and died in our place. And being, see, it's not just what he did, it's who he is. Since he's the eternal and infinite God, he could die in the place of all who will ever trust in him. And all of our sins can be forgiven because he has infinite value. And in that time, on the cross, paid for our guilt and our sin and our shame so that we could be freely forgiven. It's not that it was all right, but Jesus paid the penalty. And he did it because of who he is. He's the only one. So we live in this scary world, right? Hey, we got this fun game we like to play when we're in South Carolina, when we go down. We have this glow-in-the-dark bocce ball. You play it on the beach. You go out there pitch dark and you've got these, you know, your little, what do they call the little ball? The what? That one. Okay, they do. And the little ball, and then, you know, you take your other lit balls, different colors. It's kind of fun to play out there. Now that's safe because it's just sand, right? Buddy of mine got a glow-in-the-dark Frisbee. Do you know, he said there's a tremendous problem with this game. I said, what? What's the problem with that? He said, I live in Michigan and we do not have glow-in-the-dark trees. And he's trying to be cool like he's not old. And he's out there playing with the kids and he goes, I got it! Hits a tree! Get a big black eye. I love it. No glow-in-the-dark trees. Listen, we live in a dark world where everything isn't glow-in-the-dark, right? We're going to run into stuff in this world and it hurts, right? It hurts. But let me just tell you what I want to draw out of all of this. The wonderful thing about Jesus and all that he is, there's no need for fear. The one who stands with you today is this one we read about who stands in the future. The Bible says that the Lord is everywhere at the same time. He's omnipresent, right? He's God. He's everywhere at the same time. But it's not just in the physical world that he's omnipresent. Right now, in this moment, he's omnipresent in all time. I cannot get my head around that one. Not only is he here in this moment, not only is he there in the history past, but he is there in all of the future right now. What kind of a God is this? This is incredible. He's there. And so wherever you're going to go, he's already there. Everywhere at the same time. Now, this scroll that God is holding in his hand that Jesus opens, it is the fulfillment of all the promises, but it's something else. It's a deed to the earth. God created this place and it's his. And the evil squatters of this earth, run by Satan himself and his kingdom, are going to be evicted. A buddy of mine bought a house. He wanted to help reclaim the city, so he moved back into Pontiac, and he bought a cool old house, and it was on the tax rolls. He picked it up for a really good deal, and he picked it up. They closed on it. What they didn't realize is that there were a bunch of squatters that were living in that house, and they hid when they did the inspections and saw some evidence, but they thought it was empty. It wasn't empty. These guys who were squatting had changed all the locks after it was sold, and they owned it, they said. Because they lived there. They were dealing drugs out of it. At one time there was a meth lab in it. I mean, it was a pretty bad place. So here's my buddy with this investment that he bought this house, and these squatters are there, and he's trying to get rid of them. So it took a little while. He arranged it all. He got the plumbers, the drywall guys, the electricians, the flooring guys, the painters, everybody. They got an entire crew, landscaping crew, fence people, security system people, everything. And then they called the police. And they all converged in one day. And they pulled those people out of there because it wasn't theirs. And my buddy moved in with all of his people. And he still lives there today. Beautiful place. They moved in and within just a few days, turned that place upside down and put it all back together. This earth has got squatters on it. And this is God's house. And he's coming back to take possession of it. Period. Man, I look forward to that great day. I know there's a lot of things we can talk about with that, but he's going to take something very ugly and make it very beautiful. There's this guy, his name is Gary Zimnicki. Lives in Detroit. You know what he does? He scavenges wood out of abandoned houses in Detroit. And he makes guitars and ukuleles out of them. Some of the finest stuff I have ever played has been rescued out of abandoned, half burnt down and destroyed houses. God's going to come here and make something so beautiful out of this place someday. And he will reign. And you might not be able to even get your head around this, but you're going to reign with him. The future's coming. He's there. And you can say, well, what about this detail and that detail of the book of Revelation? I don't know. Let's talk about it. There's a lot to be talked about. There's a lot of different positions on the book of Revelation. But let me tell you this. I know one thing about the book of Revelation. There was an old custodian. He was working in one of the Waterford schools. And he was waiting for these guys who were playing a pickup game in the gymnasium. They rented the gym every Thursday night to play. And this old man was reading the book of Revelation. And these guys, who were the Christian group that was playing basketball? And they said, oh, you're reading your Bible. And the old custodian said, yeah, I'm reading the Bible. He said, what do you read? He said, I'm reading the book of Revelation. He said, sure. Really? You understand Revelation? He goes, oh, yeah. They said, what does it mean? He said, it means Jesus going to win. You got that? That's what we got, all right? So whatever your future is, he's already there, you guys. Let's stand together to pray. Come on. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for showing us this picture through John. Wow, Someday we're going to see this scene with our own eyes. Thank you, Lord, for my friends that are struggling today. Thank you for the change that you will bring, that you are bringing in each of us. And then the great macro change that's going to happen to this world when you take it over again. We look forward to the day, and we say with John what he says at the end of this great book of Revelation, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.